everybody. Welcome to Dick Talk, the podcast in which we read and rate smut recommended by TikTok. I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
And I'm Emily.
And this week we read A Soul to Keep by Opal Rain.
Every 10 years, the mysterious Duskwalker, a demon and human-eating beast, comes to Rhea's village for a human bride. Rhea is 27 and a pariah of town ever since she was the sole survivor of the demon attack that killed her entire family, making her the perfect sacrifice. Meanwhile, Orpheus, the Duskwalker, just wants to be loved. Is that so much to ask? Apparently, yes, especially when you keep accidentally eating your human bride candidates. But Rhea is different. She smells nice, and she's fearless, and also turned on by him. Find out in A Soul to Keep if Rhea and Orpheus can overcome their differences to thwart their demon enemies and find happily ever after.
Favorite tropes?
You know I love a good, you're hurt, let me bandage your wounds.
Yes.
I enjoyed seeing some very creative anatomy.
Yeah. And boy, did we see it.
Mm-hmm. Very creative.
Yeah. If you go on the author's Twitter, you will also
see
it.
You will see it with your eyeballs and not just your imagination eyeballs.
I liked, and this isn't really a trope, but the cottagecore dream.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good old enemies to lovers, too. I'm a sucker for it.
Yeah, a sweet beast. He looks scary, but he's really sweet.
Yeah. And like, even when he was an asshole, he wasn't the worst.
Yeah, he didn't rape anyone.
Right.
Anyway, dubious. Not that we saw.
Jesus. Before we dive in any further, if A Soul to Keep sounds like something you want to read, heads up that our podcast is full of spoilers. If you have read the book, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at dicktalkthepodcast@gmail.com or find us on Instagram or TikTok at dicktalkpod, DIKTOKPOD.
I was immediately there for it in the dedication.
Yes.
I just opened it up.
Yeah. To all the monster fuckers out there, this book is for you. Don't pretend that you've never wanted to be railed by some human-eating dark entity that has a skull for a face. You saw the cover, you knew what you were getting yourself into, and you still chose this book and read it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. I had a lot of puns for this book.
Yes.
What?
He's the Groom Reaper.
Oh.
And less a pun and more just a groan-inducing thing. It seems like a retelling of Orpheus and Eurydice.
I did keep wondering if his name was going to be of significance.
Nope. Yeah. No.
No.
Surprise.
Yeah.
None at all.
It would have been cool. I mean, he's in the Veil, which could be like the underworld.
And... Right, right.
But alas, no.
Since you bring it up. I want to talk about the structure of this world. What I gathered... And let me know if your interpretation was different. So there's the human dimension, and when the Demon King, what's the name?
Demon King?
Yeah.
Did he have a name?
I don't remember.
Okay. When the Demon King opened up the dimension between the elven dimension and the human dimension, brought all the monsters in, he took a canyon that ran through the whole world. He said world, maybe just continent, who knows, and turned it into the Veil.
Seems to be.
Correct?
Yep. That's what I recall.
Because I went through most of this book before that explanation, assuming that the Veil was the demon dimension, and they just crossed through.
Right. Yeah, I was also unsure of that, and pretty bad at picturing it.
Now, my take was that it was normal former Earth converted into mysterious demon lair.
But they go through the Veil to get to his house, which all that seems to be on like the demon side.
Right.
So they just convert past the Veil into demon land?
Yeah, I was just kind of picturing, like, forest.
Yeah, me too. Like, not metaphysical like, barrier so much as just, like, you don't want to go here if you don't want to die.
Yeah, like a smoggy forest.
But there is the canyon, which is the Veil. Because the Demon King says that very clearly, that he converted.
Okay.
I feel like I understood just as little as when I started this.
Yeah. Yeah. At the ceremony, I guess, in the beginning, when she's going to be sacrificed to him, they all talk or whatever. They decide it's going to be her. And then after a few moments of staring at his outreached gloved palm, she hesitantly lifted her hand and slipped it into his far larger one. And I just wrote, Phantom of the Opera organ starts.
Yeah, I was really interested when he first meets her, he immediately like strangles her, which is really uncharacteristic.
It is. And it was only because like she wasn't talking or something. Like, why, dude?
Yeah. I didn't understand that my first or my second read. I was just like, what?
Yeah, you're right. Because if he's trying not to eat his bride, scaring them seems like a bad way to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was a test to see who would be afraid. And mm-hmm. that he didn't want them because then he would eat them. Because he feeds on fear.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. I think even if you aren't afraid of demons, if one of them grabs you by the throat and lifts you up to your tiptoes, like, maybe it's not like a good test.
Right. It's like a witch test, you know?
Yeah.
Can she swim? Yes. Witch. No. Die.
Probably was a witch anyway.
Yeah.
Her name is cleared. That's what matters.
I have a question on time. The word eon is bounced around mm-hmm. a lot in ways that, given the context, I was like, what? Do I not understand what an eon is? So I Googled it, and it's a lot of time. It's like a billion years. But it's described as he's been doing this kidnap a woman thing one a decade for over 180 years. Rhea was his 19th. That's not eons, no.
Right.
Dudes.
And then also the woman that he had previously been in love with.
Katarina,
yes. Anytime he mentions her vaguely, he's like, but that was eons ago. So yeah, I had the same thing.
Maybe you're
like,
just being hyperbolic?
I know, yeah.
All the time.
Love and heartbreak makes time do weird things, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Time is just a clock of the heart, as Culture Club once said.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I don't really know what to do with these writers who are into like pup play and Big Little Fantasies.
Can you expound on that?
Yeah.
Please do.
Yeah. There's a lot of, and it goes both ways, of like him acting like a pet dog and also him treating her like a pet as the prisoner, right?
Right.
Some people are into pet play, and I really think they should be direct about it. And maybe this just isn't direct enough for me. Maybe it just needs to be like, and I went and I fucked that dog. I mean, I don't know.
It wouldn't be in character for him to know that that's what he's about, though. Because he doesn't have that language for it.
True.
But do we want to talk about what he looks like?
Yeah, right?
I loved
yes,
it.
Yes, we do.
So when I say these girls, like, I'm talking about the author and the fans of this specifically. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. there's a type, and we see it more than once in this group of books. So yeah, let's talk about what he looks like and why. Why it seems like the character kind of wants to fuck her dog.
Okay, so I think this is when he turns back into his normal self after being a monster. His claws extended as short fur, much like the kind from an antelope, grew over his forearms. Then it became thicker and longer, like wolf fur, over the tops of his biceps and shoulders. Sexy. We love it. His legs took on a new shape, dog-like, but she could see a long, deer-like tail swaying between his legs, pushed down by the black cloak he wore. Cloak.
Yeah, right? I had the same thought of, like,
long and deer-like do not seem to be descriptors that go together.
Is that like a husky tail, then? Because if you extend a deer tail, it kind of looks like a husky tail.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, that is weird. What's even weirder, fish-like fins hung from the back of his elbows and the heels of his dog-shaped legs.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Uh-huh. Rib bones protruded outside his chest like the cage was resting over the top of flesh rather than beneath it. They also covered the knuckles of his hands and feet. So, he's got a wolf skull.
With a snout.
With a snoot.
He snoots with.
Dog legs, deer tail, fish fins, external ribs, fur. Am I missing anything? Oh, antelope horns?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Crucially.
And we find out that he has this smorgasbord of features because they gain features from what they eat.
Yes.
So this is also how he got his humanity.
Uh-oh. By eating humans.
And then the Big Little fantasy. I'm talking about, like, him not letting her climb on a chair to reach the cabinets.
Right.
And shit like that, which is like, come on.
She might get hurt.
Yeah, right.
She might bump her precious little booty. But, I mean, I get it, because if a house is built for a 7 foot tall plus creature, yeah, the chairs are going to be too high for a 5 foot something person.
Yeah. I had some beef with him not letting her climb on that chair. Like, it came up a lot.
Yep. He was just so protective.
Maybe I should ask him to make me a step stool, she thought when he was gone. Then she burst out laughing. I don't think it'll matter. He'll still be worried that I could fall from it.
As if he is not the biggest danger to her of anything.
No shit.
Yeah.
She's 27 years old.
Yeah.
She should have like 3 kids in the society now. Like,
right. If anyone wanted to fuck her.
True. Yeah, when I used to work corporate gigs a lot more often, if a man of a certain age and income see a woman on a ladder, they will immediately try to assist in some way, which 9.5 times out of 10 ends up being a fucking issue. Like, just leave me alone and let me do my job. Because they'll, like, stand right there to, like, hold the ladder. They'll just hold it with their hands, which isn't doing much of anything. And it's like, well, now I have to worry about accidentally kicking you in the face.
Thanks.
And this is a very nice venue, and I can't do that. So I guess I'll just sit here on top of this ladder until you go away.
Yeah. Terrible.
Were they leches about it? Like, I'm helping you, but I'm actually staring at your ass.
I mean, you know, I don't care about being objectified as long as I can do my fucking job.
Oh, capitalism. Yeah.
If I had hangups about that, I would have left this industry a long time ago. And it's also like, you know, when he comes back and the other Mavka is like in the salt circle or whatever, and she's like, I'm in so much trouble. And it's like, okay, is this a relationship built on equality or?
No.
Yeah.
Arguably not.
But it's Big Little shit.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, she's a 28-year-old woman who thinks it's hot to be treated like a baby. Which, again, whatever you're into.
I mean, she was socially isolated for 20 years. So maybe she doesn't know what's normal. He doesn't know what's normal. They make their own normal.
It's a new normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, however the author.
However.
This book is written for people who are into pet play and Big and Little shit. So. Yeah. Call a spade, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one other aspect of his appearance that's pretty crucial is his mood ring eyes.
Ooh, yeah.
His orbs. They give away everything.
I liked how on the nose a lot of those were.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, it'd be like blue is normal-ish.
Happy.
Maybe a little sad, but nothing too extreme. You got red for anger. Like, yeah, okay. You got green for envy.
Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah, the green for envy. I was like,
Is envy really such a strong emotion that it needs to be one with a visual tell?
Well, he's so controlling.
Yeah.
He's envious about everything when he's like, don't talk to the other Mavka. And like, he can't hear you moan as we have sex out in public. I'm just like, dude.
Yeah. Maybe rethink that decision to have sex out in public.
I mean, don't.
No,
absolutely, because that was totally hot.
No,
yeah, it's a good scene.
But don't be a weird controlling freak about it. I don't know. You know that's a pet peeve of mine, of a guy silencing a woman in bed. I'm just like, cool.
No,
cool.
Let's not.
Stop silencing women.
We're not silenced enough in the real world. We have to be silenced in our fantasies as well. Mm-hmm. Good, good, good.
Great, lovely.
Speaking of hot scenes... all the bathtub scenes.
Those were, for all that they weren't that intense, like, they were hot.
So I really wished she hadn't tasted the bath water that tasted like blood. I was into the bathtub scenes, and then she did that, and I just thought of, like, the smell of blood. Like, I was like, she's just sitting in this bathtub of blood, and, like...
Hey, does it for some people.
Yep. Why did you taste it? Why would you do that?
Because she's been on her own since she was 7 and no one ever told her not to.
Don't drink the blood water. Yeah. But yeah, like at first he is doing it with gloves on to protect her modesty. But since the magic can't infuse as much, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking know for the protection spell. He has to do it twice a day.
It's better without protection, you
right.
know.
Correct.
Well, and little horn dog Rhea. It's like, what if you took your gloves off?
Yeah. She thought she might find it that much worse when she planned to ask him tonight to not use his gloves. Okay. Uh-oh. It can't be that much different with his gloves off.
Yeah, I think it would feel more or less the same. Because he's got, like, gray right. skin.
Right. He's got, like, calloused hands. So
it's just the erotic aspect of him being
right.
unshielded from her.
Another good romance novel sentence. First time he's fingering her in the bath. In heavy, wet spasms, her pussy desperately tried to milk his fingers.
Yep.
Blech.
You know it's a smut novel when it talks about milking.
There are a lot of instances of it talking about her pussy trying to milk his fingers.
Mm-hmm. Before I say this, we should talk about the first sex scene, I think.
Sorry, I'm counting how many times the word milk comes up in this book.
When you do a search, doesn't it say, like,
it does.
Found
it says
this many?
8. I'm just trying to make sure that they all have to do
with the act of milking.
With there
milking
were no cows,
for seed. That's true. But, like, he could say, like, her milky skin or something.
Okay. Mm.
Let's see. Her pussy desperately tried to milk his fingers. Her body milked his fingers in wet spasms. Also a lot of wet spasms. To try and milk him for a seed rather than his fingers that could give her nothing. Yeah. Yes, she cried, her legs kicking out as she continued to milk him with blunt nails clawing, kneading her backside as she milked him. A lot of milking. Don't read this if you're lactose intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You will shit.
Do read it if you're into minotaurs.
So hats off to Opal Rain. She can write a fucking fight scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was intense. And I was like, ugh, ugh.
When was that at the end?
I was thinking when she ran away and got kidnapped by the spider demon.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. It was good.
The end, too. I mean, all the fight scenes were, mm-hmm. like, really good.
Y'all want to talk about the first time he ate her out?
Can I say one more thing about the spider attack?
Yes, please.
Okay, the spider demon has like a thing where it can like take your memories and make you feel sadness. She's into sadness? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's imitating Rhea's little brother, she does this baby talk and it's fucking written out. By the time that memory was over, I was like, I'm gonna kill this kid myself. It was the most like annoying, like painful thing.
So many W's thrown around. I do remember that because I reread it yesterday. And what really got me is that they put a W in front of her name.
Rhea.
No, it would still be Rhea. Like, it still had the R in it.
Rhea.
Like,
unless it was just Rhea, because R's are hard for toddlers.
Right, but then it should have just been W, mm-hmm. E-I-A.
But you let them eat me. It, Jesus Christ. It hurts, Wea, he blubbered. Why didn't you protect me? Ah!
I don't know. It didn't offend me that much because I have a small human that
actually
talks.
Yeah.
Very not far from that.
And then, like, it just went on. It hurts. Wea! Shut up!
Yo, wasn't he a baby? Like a baby baby? You can't talk. Shut up. Fuck silencing women. I silence babies.
Silence spiders acting like babies.
I miss them so much. And I was like, after he talked like that, I'd be like, you know what? Maybe it was for the best.
I don't know. If that was an actual baby, it was very articulate to me.
Wea!
I bet that kid's hands were so sticky.
Ugh.
Yes.
Sticky like a spider's web.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like when they try to touch your hair.
No. Don't put my hair in your mouth.
Don't pull my glasses off and try and break them.
They're gonna pull your glasses off.
Every time.
Springing from that.
Great, now we can talk about.
Right into the cunnilingus.
Oh, man.
Karina, you just killed the mood for all of us.
I know.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. I'm here to serve.
So I think she woke up from a sex dream about him. He's like over her.
He's like snoof, snoof, snoof.
Snoof, 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 because he can smell.
I smell arousal.
Snoof, arousal.
What's that? It's a weird smell. Snoof, snoof, snoof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You are aroused, he growled, his head turning up to face her. Her pussy clenched in reaction to the dark depth of his voice, and she felt so much liquid pooling that it dripped and leaked.
He's here for it.
Yeah, he tastes her. And this might be my romance novel sentence of the book. There's two, but this one. Then she let out a high-pitched cry when his tongue slipped from her puckered backside that wasn't expecting the slippery organ over the entrance of her core to collect every drop of her liquid cream and then up through her folds until he heavily lashed her pounding clit.
Yep.
Yep. Call that a rim to rim.
Call that a run-on sentence.
Yeah, that does. That touches on like a lot of the erotica buzzword.
Mm-hmm. Oh god. And then he fucking puts his tongue in her.
He didn't even put hand sanitizer on it.
No.
He didn't even suck it back into his mouth to rinse it off. That was my first thought. Rinse it off.
Didn't even stick it in the bloody bathwater.
His blood.
Yeah, true. Now, okay, so he licked all around her inner walls like he wanted to sweep into every crevice to steal her taste. Then she felt pressure. It was a thoughtful sound that came from him as she felt him tonguing something small and thin. Wait, is that my... His tongue pushed hard and broke something, sending a light pinch of pain through her channel. Eep! Rhea squealed. Her legs lifted as his tongue, lubricated from his own saliva and the lingering wetness of her orgasm, allowed him to push all the way inside until she felt him hit her cervix and crumble against it.
Crumble, you say? Okay, this raises the question.
I got so many questions.
At several points. My question is probably not your question.
Okay.
How does someone who hasn't spoken to other humans since she was 7 know what a hymen and a cervix are?
Okay, good question.
Great question.
They have incredible sex education in this medieval village.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The library. It's a beautiful thing. And the librarian was so helpful.
Yeah. As she wouldn't make eye contact.
Uh-huh. I'm just going to push this book at you. Tell no one.
I have a question kind of along those lines. There's a point in which, well, two things, which this is jumping ahead, but one, she's like, I'm ruined for every man. And it's like, why do you care? Like, no one wanted to fuck your cursed ass anyway. And the other one was like, I've always had trouble asking to be touched. I was like, bitch, from whomst?
From whomst?
Like,
no one was ever going to touch you.
No. So you didn't have to ask for it. So like, this is not an ongoing problem.
But what if someone did want to actually fuck me?
You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know the difference, right? You would just be like, well, that was real different from the monster who had to literally rearrange my organs in order to fit in.
Ooh, yes. Let's talk about
we
that.
We do need to talk Wait. About that.
I want to ask about the hymen, though.
Oh, right.
Is that how it happens? Is that what it feels like?
No.
Speaking as a virgin.
Right. We know, queen.
Uh-huh. No, some of us fell off a roof when we were a child and like didn't have this weird
hymen situation.
Hymen situation to deal with.
The way that I understand it is like, okay, here's your opening, right? And it's not like covering the whole thing, but it's kind of like making it smaller.
Okay. Like a little semi-circle, semi-moon.
Right, something like that. And then like when something is inserted, then it kind of tears it. Huh. But
what does it feel like?
Probably just like the first time you take a big dick and you're like, oh...
Yeah, because, like, there's already micro tears in your vaginal walls anyway.
Right.
So does it hurt more than that? Or does...
Not if you're aroused.
Well. Yeah. Who was that lucky?
Rhea.
Rhea, all right. And his tongue saliva would compensate for some.
Well, and is his tongue really that thick? I mean, maybe it is.
Yeah, it's got to fit in a skull, so it can't be like...
If it's that long.
It can't be super fleshy, right?
Yeah. Although he does have a very long snoot, so maybe the tongue is just like hanging out in there all the time.
What does a wolf's tongue look like?
Look, wolf's tongue looks like a dog's tongue.
Blech.
But bigger, but not thick. Because dogs have like thin tongues so that they can like move, they can...
Lap stuff up.
Yeah, lap stuff up.
Yeah, no, you're right.
They have a knot to compensate. What the fuck is Orpheus bringing to the table?
Oh, I can tell you.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I can tell you all about it.
Oh, those images haunt me.
Yes. That's at Opal Rain on the website formerly known as Twitter.
It looks like Audrey, too.
Yeah, it does.
So there's not one super concise description, but I've got a few highlights that kind of touch on various aspects of his creative anatomy. He does have a seam in which his genitals hide.
We're very familiar.
Mm-hmm. We've read about some seams.
Which, like, we should implement those in the real world because, like...
Yeah, put that shit away.
Yeah. It's indecent, but also, like, you're gonna get hurt.
Uh-huh.
And you do all the time, just like...
Existing.
Yeah. Suck it on in.
Right? Tuck it up.
So yes, there's tentacles.
Yes. Okay, I've got it. Guess what color it is.
Is it red?
It's purple.
That's right, it's purple.
It's purple. Like every sex toy.
Mm-hmm. Just, he's a big, giant sex toy. It's purple. And she could see every detail of it. The two nearly fist-sized bulges at the base, the girth of it as it jutted up from between his hips, that deep indent that ran from the bottom all the way to the top until it reached the mushroom head. It dipped in slightly, following that line to the slit at the top, where she could see a pearl of white liquid had already formed. Of course it had. Those tiny, soft frills that ran around the rim of his cockhead that also went down three sides of him. The tentacles, there are tentacles, were wiggling in the air like they were seeking something, and she knew they just wanted something to hold.
And those are at the base.
The tentacles are at the base.
Mm-hmm. Four tentacles around the base of it, about 5 inches long.
So how do 5-inch tentacles, like...
Fucking nothing, like, okay?
Reach around and hold her.
They don't.
They
and
don't.
Just... A wasted potential of tentacles, which I have very strong opinions about.
We know, girl.
But also, if you're not using them for multiple types of stimulation, which that didn't happen, right?
No.
There was no tentacle up her ass.
Grabbed at her.
There was no clit with the little suckers on the tentacle. Like, come on. Come on.
Yeah, everything about this creature is abnormally long. Why not the tentacles too?
And they just like grab. They grab for nothing. And then like what? So
let
I guess
me grab
just,
your
like,
pubes.
Ouch.
Yeah, I guess that is what they grab.
Uh-huh. Or they just like pinched your thighs.
Or just like how you hold your prom date's hips.
Uh-huh.
If you're very awkward.
But they're like this long.
You poke your prom date's hips.
You tickle your prom date's hips.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There you go.
I have this note that just says 10-page hand job. That was the first time she touched his dick, and it literally lasted 10 pages.
It is a very complicated dick.
It is.
There's a lot to explore.
It wasn't pointy, but it wasn't round, and it kind of felt strange, like there was a swirl of four edges. Let's see, it was fucking huge and was definitely spiraling in a downward twist. So I think the tentacles wrap around the dick, and it kind of makes it look like a rose that had yet to bloom, as it
fucking
says.
Floral imagery.
And then, like, when it comes out of the seam, then the tentacles unwind.
Well, they're little protective things in the seam.
Yeah.
Kind of with a mind of their own, as we find out. Then her hands found the head, It was bulbous, but she felt more soft frills around the large rim that seemed to be the thickest part of him. The tip was more like the shape of an oval, and there was a deep slit in it that followed the groove underneath him, like it was attached to the same line, and a hole where she thought his release would come from. Oh, wow, so much came out.
Yeah, I have that highlighted too.
There are a lot of exclamation points in this book.
She's excited.
It's jarring. Yeah.
She's literally had nothing happen to her in her entire life.
Yeah, like there's another one with an exclamation point that I highlighted because I love it. And it says, I'm coming. I'm fucking coming from his tongue.
Yeah.
Girl, that's the best way to do it.
Have his tongue break your hymen. Wow.
I did find the part where he rearranges her guts, literally.
Oh, we do need to talk about
it. We do.
Hit it.
All right, so they're fucking for the first time, I believe. She says, I fucking want all of it now. Then he started to push in hard, and her legs straightened as they shook. She knew he was using some kind of protective or manipulation magic on her body with his claws, and she felt no pain as he forced her to take him.
Mm.
Forced is italicized.
Trauma language.
Her back arched as she gripped the furs. It was uncomfortable as she felt her insides move to make way as he dug deeper and deeper. Her thighs twitched when she could feel his tentacles tickling the sensitive inner flesh of her thighs with their tips. Okay, so they have a use.
That's what they do.
Before they started to slither thighs? Over her.
Hit the clit, dude.
Right. You're so close.
Can't reach.
She felt weird. It felt good, too good, being filled this far, this deep, but it was also strange. Something seemed to snap within her brain when he was 3/4 in. Jesus Christ. Oh, God. More, more, more.
More, more, more.
She could feel he was past her navel.
No!
Could feel pressure behind it and further up as she moved. Oh, God. Yeah, I think that's about it. Let's see. Tentacles clamped around her legs and hips. Okay, I think that's it with gut rearrangement.
So he dug his claws into her stomach to like make her bleed a bit to allow for the magic to rearrange her insides. Is that how it worked?
And he came in deep, digging into her body and kissing her cervix tightly the tip of his strange cock.
Oh, God. Wait, how? If he's past her belly button.
That's a great question.
Maybe that was part of the rearrangement, was her cervix just became a foot long. Yep. Who needs lungs anyway? Let's throw the uterus up there. Have it grow around in the rib cage.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, it'll fit in your ribs.
I guess, is he dilating her cervix too? I don't understand.
I just want to say, sometimes my chiropractor will move organs around a little bit and like, have you had that?
Here and there, yeah.
Yeah. She has to do it to me every time because nothing wants to stay where it's supposed to. But it's just like, it's not that it hurts, but boy, it feels fucking weird.
Yeah, yeah. Like I have a hiatal hernia that causes acid reflux, and sometimes it's part of the stomach is up where it shouldn't be, and he'll just like pull it back down. It's like, my stomach.
I was told I have pointy ribs that curve inward, so she's got to go under my ribs sometimes and pull something down. I guess my stomach down, and I'm like, yeah. she goes under my I can't think too hard about it.
Is this gonna make it into the episode?
Probably.
Ugh. So yeah, that was a whole lot of confusion of how he got past the cervix to the navel, but then also kissed the cervix at the tip of his maybe as he went back in. I don't know.
No,
I don't know,
because there was no U-turn. There was no dick U-turn.
I mean, he withdraws and then goes back.
Oh yeah,
yeah. No, like he turns around.
Turn this car around.
It's like, okay, so the uterus is like a cul-de-sac, and he just goes like right around there and comes back out.
I've seen the diagram.
Yeah,
I'm visualizing an old cell phone game of Snake.
Perfect. No notes.
She's ruined for every other man.
Well, yes.
Good thing you're there forever anyway.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Good thing you literally gave your soul to him.
To keep.
She can no longer die.
So at one point, she wakes up and he's inside her. And she's like, hey, what? And he's like, you said I could be inside you whenever I wanted. I chose to rest with it lying in you. It was strange, but this was one of the sweetest things she's ever heard or experienced. The bar is on the ground. The
bar is... Someone dug a trench for that bar.
Dude. Are the straights okay?
I mean, I guess if you tell him he can take you whenever he wants, then there's a good chance that's going to happen.
Yeah, which, like, fine, whatever. But, like, this is it.
Yeah.
Women accepting their captors as lovers is a form of societal grooming to ready women to silently tolerate bad relationships.
You're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why we've got a bunch of fairy tales of just like, and then I guess it was good enough.
Yeah.
But also there was like one point where she was like, he's been wanting it every day. And I was like, ooh, I just need a rest for a second. And he said something about it. And I was like, well, you try taking a fucking giant unnatural dick 3 times a day every day and see how you feel.
You rearranged her organs. What's the problem?
She should be able to take it anytime.
Yeah.
She has very low lung capacity now because her uterus is in there.
It's like when you're pregnant and like all your guts just get...
That they do.
Ugh.
You gotta pee all the time.
Yeah. Dude. At one point, they're fucking, and she has previously told him she loves him, and he did not say it back.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, you haven't said it back to me, blah, blah, blah. Said what? That you love me. So they're still fucking as we speak.
Yeah.
And says, don't stop moving. He groaned, his cock swelling like he pulsated. He looked down to where she was riding him, and his claws dug a little deeper as he watched himself disappearing inside her channel. Your cunt feels so good moving on me. I like that you want to do this to me, to fuck yourself with my cock. I want to feel you come around me while you do this, like you want to milk me for my seed yourself. And I was just like, wrong answer.
Yeah, I was like, that's your response? Don't stop moving. Hey, bitch, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it when you fuck my cock. Yeah, dude. Duh.
Well, and then like later she says something about love and he's like,
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is. And it's just like,
after all this,
you kidnapped 18 humans.
You've been so lonely looking for this.
Her soul. And you're just like, I mean, I don't want to commit. I don't want anything serious.
Let's just fuck.
Yeah. I don't know what love is, but I'll get you all the things that you ever need and ask for and care for you and protect you and whatever. But like, is that what
that's love? Not love.
Is that love? I don't know. Anyway, I like how you fuck my cock.
Yeah. Milk it.
Milk it, baby.
Oh, right. And so like they're having sex and she's like, oh, my God. And he goes, there are no gods in an unholy place like the Vale, Rhea. And I was like, you're fucking proselytizing now? Become an atheist. It's the only way. Like, God, fuck. Did you meet this guy on Reddit? Can we talk about the town? Because that bookseller was the cutest.
Yes, the village.
Oh, the demon village.
The demon village, yeah.
The shopping day.
Yeah. I wanted them to stay there.
I know.
Maybe forever.
Forever, yeah.
Yeah, I hope future books will have a lot more Demon Town.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
Because it's the other Mavka.
But it really made the demons not villainous at all.
Yeah.
They're just a cute little society.
Yeah. I guess until they get farther away from that.
They just have so much human meat carted in that they've become practically human, perhaps?
Right.
Pretty much.
So am I hearing that the way to make them less demonic and evil is for them to eat more humans
and
become more human.
That seems to be a pretty clear here to there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
Eat humans. Humans suck.
Yeah. The people that made fun of you in your village or whatever, tell them to take a hike to old Demon Town.
Yeah.
Well, the Demon Town's coming to them, so it's fine.
Yeah. Fuck them. They don't need that sigil anymore.
I love when they're in the town and she's like, I'm hungry. You said you would attend to all of my needs. I'm hungry. And then he's like, yeah, okay, so like that's all human meat. And then two paragraphs later, he's about to say something to the other Mavka about eating humans. And she's like, I've gotten used to the idea of eating humans. And I was like, not a second ago when you were almost a cannibal.
No. Uh-huh. You're used to them eating humans.
Maybe she would become more human if she did.
Damn. More human than human.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Zombie should read this book.
I had a question. He is very focused on nobody finding out that she's human and hides her body at all times. How'd she get new shoes?
She's just a little Mavka.
The with tiniest human Mavka. Feet.
Because she ate a lot human's of human. Feet.
Any part of her body that shows, why can't you just be like, yeah, she's got human hands?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why are we being like this? But I had a lot of why is Orpheus being like this?
Yeah, make her some wolf hand gloves or something.
Yeah.
Or don't. The flying monster that almost takes her is completely human and has wings. So, like,
sick.
Right?
Yeah. I was picturing, like, sexy Lucifer in paintings.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, she kills the fuck out of it, so. And then he's like, why would you go outside? And she's like, well, I didn't know I was on fucking under house arrest for the week you've been gone. Should have clarified. Yeah. But then, like, she acts like that, too, right? Like, she's like, I can't believe you said you wouldn't trust me. Mm-hmm. And doesn't speak to him for 2 days. And it's like,
you ran away.
Yeah, you ran away. Twice? Literally every boundary he gives her, she breaks immediately. And she's like, why wouldn't you trust me? I can't believe you would say that. And it's like, I can name 17 good reasons. From the, like, week you've been here. She's only there for, like, a month before she gets kidnapped. And it's like, yeah. I understand you've never had a connection in your entire life, hon. Except for that little brother who talked in W's. But, like,
no W's for him. Just L's.
Just the big L of death.
So she's learning to defend herself and fight. Like, at one point, Orpheus just drags an unsuspecting demon into the salt circle who's fighting him. And she, like, just, like, kills him with a sword. Or dismembers him and, like, pushes him back out of the circle for other demons to eat. And I was like, this is so fucked up. Like, I was like, this is like Dick Cheney shooting the captive birds. Like, they just let him out. They fly for the first time in their lives. And Dick fucking Cheney shoots them.
Jesus Christ.
Right? Yeah. Like, what a monster. Dick Cheney and Rhea.
Same level.
Like, what, isn't it fucked? Like, nobody else? Like, I'm just like, no, Jesus right. Christ.
Nope, that was jarring.
Rhea is a war criminal.
Yeah. And she comes to terms with this a little bit in the Demon King part of, like, the Duskwalker and this demon that you just killed for sport are the same? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, we're just, okay, all right.
Take that next step.
She can't. She has trouble even when she's at the Demon King's palace.
Yep.
She's like, how could you fuck a Demon King? Well, I fucked a Duskwalker. I guess it's kind of similar.
Yeah, no shit.
End scene.
Yeah.
She's got a good reason to be fucked up, though.
Maybe it's a chicken and egg situation.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't that her family was killed by demons. Maybe, like, three people talked to her and she gave, like, really, really unsettling energy and said some fucked up shit. And they were just like, okay.
Okay. You're weird.
That's enough.
I feel like you would shoot me if I was running from you and you had a gun.
I think she would. I
think she would.
Just for sport. This book ends with, like, let's go kill some people from the village who are kind of mean to me. And you're like, that's your happy ending?
Yeah.
All right.
It is.
Okay.
Good for her.
This is fine.
So he is turned on, but in a different way, by the smell of blood. Makes him hungry. Mm-hmm. And there's a part where she gets her period because she is an adult woman. And I loved that they included that. But didn't he, like, have to fucking leave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like that he left, though.
Yeah. Like, she didn't have to go to the red tent.
Right, yeah.
Do we have any theories about why Katerina didn't have her period?
Maybe she was a ballerina.
She might have been too skinny.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Or stressed.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Sometimes when you get kidnapped and regularly sexually assaulted, it causes you some stress.
Sometimes.
Especially if you're not eating well.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of food.
Bro,
for you.
If you're only eating like 3 berries a day.
Dude, I was so worried about her protein intake.
Me too.
And then she finally said something about it, and I was like, thank God.
Thank God. He has this amazing garden with a bunch of herbs and raspberry plants, importantly, because those are her favorite. Pin in that.
And when she gets the lemon tree, I was like, yes.
Mm. But so she was bleeding heavily and her cramps were utterly terrible. She even started crying over it. She was hormonal and in pain. She was tired and felt bloated. And I was just like, raspberry leaves for cramp, mint and dill for bloating, if you even care.
Maybe that library wasn't so good.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
The witch owl should have told
Can we talk about the witch owl?
Yeah.
My favorite character. Maybe the only character that I liked by the end of the second read, although I like the other Mopka.
He was fun.
Yeah. So when the witch owl comes and heals the garden after the demons trample it, I just imagine it like in the scene in My Neighbor Totoro where they're all like.
Yes.
Love it.
So to describe the witch owl, so there's demons and duskwalkers, and she's just kind of a mysterious third type creature, a white owl, sometimes a woman, but she just is not a dangerous creature by the looks of it, but just flits around and seems to fixate on the duskwalkers. That's my spoiler-free version.
Okay, I was about to say, are we like not spoiling what she actually is?
We can, but just gave the spoiler-free version first because we do find out.
She knows the future to an extent, and so she like leads them in the right directions, knows what a human needs, knows what Orpheus needs too.
Yeah, I was very curious about her for a long time. I took a note that was like, witch owl, what is your motive? And of course, we find out, and it's very obvious why she would then be helping. But
when Rhea's like a bitch to her for no reason, like I'm reading it and I'm like, what, who is this character all of a sudden? And like, why are you taking all of this out on the witch owl who's literally done nothing but help you and feed you and keep you safe?
Yeah.
Like, you've had three encounters with her and every single one has been actually the best thing to happen to you.
I don't even remember why she was a bitch to her.
She doesn't know. She, like, at one point she's just like, oh, why am I being so defensive or whatever? And you're just like, yeah, why?
Hey, mother-in-laws rile people up sometimes.
Yes, you spoiler.
There's the spoiler.
Yeah, I was happily, merrily skipping along in this little cottagecore fantasy on my first read until we get to Rhea gets kidnapped by the Demon King and she finds out that Katarina, Orpheus's ex, saw her. They could see her with magic and is trying to save her.
Save her. Kind of sincere, but
kind of sincere, kind of a trap for Orpheus.
Yeah.
But also we find out she's not the first one that they saved. So I think that she genuinely does try to like save them because she was kept and sexually assaulted by Orpheus for years. And Rhea's whole thing is like, oh, these people have to be evil because he's so sweet / I'm in love with him. And she's like, did you ever tell him no? And she's like, no, he would have fucking killed me. And she's like, well, isn't it your fault? You got raped all those times then. And I was like, cool, 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 cool.
Yeah, lovely. Great.
Cool. So Katarina, misunderstood Katarina, is trying to kill Orpheus because Orpheus, once again, let me reiterate, kidnapped her. Held her hostage for years and regularly sexually assaulted her. And she's the bad guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
She's the evil queen of this story. And also, she and the Demon King, I mean, they're kind of nasty people, but like, they dig each other.
They had a
healthy relationship. Yeah. Uh-huh. They have a
good
more
for her.
Healthy relationship than Orpheus and Rhea.
Yeah.
Because there's no power imbalance there.
Good for her.
Right? And then she's fucking dead. And everyone's like, she got what was coming to her.
God. Justice for Katarina.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about the reincarnation bits. First off, that was fucking hilarious. It was really intense and terrible, but also like, you dumb bitch. She comes back to life just to be immediately torn apart by a monster in the woods at night. But he has the goopy black like string between his antlers, and I literally thought that that was the jewelry that she made him. Oh. And that it had just gotten covered in like grossness as he was like running around and getting like bled on and shit.
Yeah.
And then he was just gonna keep that up there forever, and I was like, oh, that's so gross, because I thought that it was like attached to her soul. The reality is he was reforming something, because that's what it looks like when they reform.
Right.
Which is...
But you were thinking it was like a friendship bracelet that you've been wearing in the shower and every yep. single day forever.
Yeah. But yeah. like if you'd gone into a swamp.
Just rotting off of your
yeah.
body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's friendship, baby.
That's friendship.
And had to keep it because her soul was attached to that now. And mm-hmm. I was just like, Jesus. Good thing we live in the woods, I guess.
almost to the end of the book, chapter 37. They're fucking.
They fucking.
Is this the happily ever after fuck?
Maybe, or the penultimate.
Penultimate.
It says, have you never had sex with a woman on top? He seemed too surprised by this for her to think anything else. No, he shook his head. 507 pages in, and it's the first time she's on top.
And 180 years.
She grinned from her ingenious idea and faced him. Girl, that's just cowgirl.
She doesn't know.
Ingenious idea.
Oh, yeah. And then the next chapter, a few pages later, an ache radiated through her stomach, making her feel as though she'd been punched in the gut repeatedly. And I just put, this just doesn't sound pleasant.
No. Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't sound enjoyable.
I have another, like, very smut prototype sentence at the end. It was torture, and it was bliss. Rhea had found heaven in the veil, and it was given to her by the cock of a duskwalker that was fucking her into oblivion.
Yep. Oh, the monster fuckers. Ugh. You know, I'm so happy for her.
For Rhea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She goes from no one speaking to her to, like, come in multiple times a day.
Yep.
I know she's got to do all this emotional labor bullshit, but, like, pretty good life.
So, like, 20 pages from the end of the book, she and the witch owl are talking.
Yeah, when she's, like, randomly bitchy.
She's like, you mate with the child darkness and you, let's see, and you'll make more if you are not careful. I was not ready when it happened the first time. And she's like, how the hell am I supposed to be careful? It's not like I can just will myself not to have a child. And she's like, oh, fuck, they'd had sex 3 times last night. I could already be pregnant. The witch owl was right. Rhea was not ready for something like this. It's like,
no shit.
Are you just now realizing this, girl?
But I mean, also, what are the stakes?
Right.
Like,
and then it ends with her getting her period. And she's like, never been so happy to have my freaking period. Never in her life would she think she'd have a pregnancy scare with a duskwalker. It's like, book redeemed. No accidental pregnancy. She doesn't want that. I love it. Done. This book, I'm done.
Ratings.
100 eons of solitude.
This made my cervix cringe. That's why it took me so long to read. I had to stop after like every sex scene because I was like starting to get cramps.
That's fair.
Yeah,
yep. That's fair.
Psychosomatic cramps.
Sympathy cramps.
Yes.
Okay, let me read you mine. It's not monster fucking. It's two monsters fucking.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. TikTok stars Karina McGeehan, Killian Ross, and Emily Shirley. It's edited by Karina McGeehan, produced and bartended by Derek Adams, and recorded at Shadow Public Radio.